Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
In our never-ending examination of life, faith and culture on Open House, how could we possibly overlook sport in the Aussie culture? So we're doing that every couple of weeks, and some of the questions our sporting life raise. I'm also so glad that Olympian Jeremy Rolston joins us every couple of weeks as our Open House sporting guru. Rollo, good evening.
Good evening.
Thanks very much for coming, mate.
Great to be here again.
The Shaq. Shaquille O'Neal made big news this week with the announcement that he was retiring. Interestingly, revealing it in a video on Twitter. How new media of him.
Yes, that's very new media of him. And I also loved the fact that he then did a press conference in his own gymnasium, in his own home.
As you would. What's he want from the media anymore? Nothing.
Oh, I think he wants a career post basketball. Yeah. That's what he wants.
It is amazing. He has become such a megastar. How many years? A couple of decades.
Yeah, look, he's 39. He's played for 19 years. Look, I mean, he is so famous, but he's famous for lots of reasons. As an athlete, I think people forget. I mean, he's won 4 NBA championships and he got MVP 3 times. He's been an NBA All-Star for 15 times. So as an athlete, he certainly holds his own. But I guess what people love about Shaquille O'Neal, the Shaq, is everything other than that. It's the fact that he's size 22 feet are in Madame Tussauds. I know. It's everything around that. He's done movies. He's done rap albums. He's got this big personality with lots of nicknames. And, you know, that adds that whole level of character aside from his ability.
To say nothing of the money, the vast amounts of money that that guy's earned over the years.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah. Last time we talked, we began to touch on how hard it is for big sports stars like this to retire when their whole world is built around their sport. How do you reckon this bloke will go? What'll he do next, do you reckon?
Look, I think like a lot of athletes, he will struggle. Yep. And I was mentioning last time that I think for a lot of people, what they may not realise is that it's not just the fact that you're not doing the sport. So I think if you think about the money that these guys get, it's not the money for them. It's the fact that suddenly they're out of the spotlight. I'm sorry. They're not around their friends training every day. Mm. They don't get that stretching as you train and challenge yourself. Your identity's often caught up in your sport. It's everything around that that makes it difficult. I guess that's akin to a lot of people through the GFC lost their jobs, and there's a lot in and around that that's outside of just the salary that you make.
I suppose he's fortunate that he's had such a life outside of his sport already.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly positioning himself like a lot of athletes are, and no doubt he'll get some jobs.
Yeah. Back in Australia, a rugby union player, I noticed this, Berrick Barnes. He was in the news raising the issue of headgear. This is quite a story, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's interesting, and it's a ludicrous situation. So the situation is that Berrick Barnes, a well-known wallaby, has been having what they call footballer's migraine, and that is basically memory loss because he's had multiple concussions. That's with wearing headgear, mind you.
Yeah. This is no small thing. I mean, somebody's got to say that. This is a big thing, isn't it?
Yeah, this is a big thing. It's a big thing for him personally. It's a big thing for the safety laws. And the ridiculous situation here is he's needing to challenge the international body's regulations around headgear in order to try and wear headgear that is more akin to, say, a boxer, more akin to providing more protection, because the rules at the moment say that your headgear can be no thicker than 1 centimetre, which again just defies the whole reason of having protective headgear. So it will be very interesting to see how, I guess, that plays out for him and his sponsor.
It's an interesting question about how far the sporting world should be allowed to go in terms of exposing their players to damage. Have we gone too far, say, in rugby, to allow such an impact?
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly there's alarming research from the US in terms of the long-term effects of concussion on footballers, and it's even more poignant in NFL because they're wearing, obviously, their helmets and having had a go of American football, you know, when one helmet hits another, you can see why that has such disastrous effects. And you think about boxers, you think about my sport, bobsleigh. When you crash, you're on your head and it's a serious incident. I guess I guess the point is each person needs to make the decision for themselves, but you would think at some point when it affects your future with your family and things, you'd want to be having some serious thoughts in terms of, is it worth it?
And yet, you know as well as I do, you know more than I do, the mongrel that's in these guys and the extent to which they'll go, short-term loss, they see it as, but it's actually a long-term loss.
You don't think about it at that point. I think we discussed last time, you know, it's one thing to make a decision to do a dangerous sport like mine. It's another thing to make a decision where it's going to impact the rest of your life. And we see this across all things. I mean, we saw Danny Samuels, you know, not going to the Delhi Commonwealth Games because of safety. You know, we saw Australia boycott a Davis Cup tie in Chennai in 2009. So, you know, there's some big issues in and around your future safety.
Yeah. Quick wrap up another story from rugby from South Africa this time.
Yeah, again, interestingly, no one really knows the facts here, but I guess the story around is their quotas on colour for World Cup. Wow. World Cup teams. And this, I guess, stems from the fact that the previous South African coach, Jake White, in 2006, basically said he was unable to select some players that he wanted because of quotas and, in brackets, transformation. Whereas the current coach, Peter de Villiers, has come out and said he doesn't have to pick any players along racial lines. I guess there's gentlemen's agreements that we don't know about. I guess... Look, it's silly. You don't see white quotas in the 100-metre running final.
Yeah, quite.
That's the whole point of sport, is without regard to race or colour, it's the best man may win. And that's what everybody loves about sport. I guess that's why it exists in so many ways. So I guess a funny story, but from my perspective as a sports person, you know, certainly some people have better opportunities and some people will be lent towards certain sports because of their background or socioeconomic or geography, but pretty ridiculous to even be considering that.
Quite a little revelation. Jeremy Ralston, great to see you as always.
No problem. Great to be here.
Soon. Good on you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.